The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Greg Gutfeld.
I'm Liz Claman, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. I'm Dave Anthony. Tonight, President Biden's second State of the Union address. Will it be a pre-campaign speech hinting at a run for a second term?
It seems as if he is all systems go. I've heard nothing to contradict that. And I think the real point of his speech is to say full speed ahead.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. Does the Chinese spy balloon change anything about our already tense relationship with China? President Biden may not think so right now, but many Republicans say it should.
They, in fact, are testing us, and they are probing, and they are preparing for greater action. There's no question about it.
And I'm Ben Domenech. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
It's that time of year when the president goes to Capitol Hill on primetime TV.
The State of the Union is strong because you, the American people, are strong.
That was last year.
We are stronger today. We are stronger today than we were a year ago.
And President Biden may tell us tonight the State of the Union's even stronger now. He'll no doubt tout the lowest unemployment rate last month in 54 years and the 12 million jobs created since he took office.
That's the strongest 2 years of job growth in history by a long shot.
The president may also echo what he said on Friday about this.
Inflation continues to come down. Inflation has now fallen for six straight months.
We'll get the Republican response afterward from new Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, a former Trump White House press secretary. Another Republican governor, Chris Sununu from New Hampshire, not impressed with the Biden economy and the improved job market.
After a pandemic, that wasn't very hard.
As for inflation, Sununu, who's considering a 2024 run for president, tells ABC's This Week.
Well, inflation was at record high. Of course it's coming down. It couldn't have gone any higher. So look, the president's going to do what he does, try to take credit for all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter about the speech. It matters what's going on in this country. It matters just talking to people.
ABC News and The Washington Post did that in their new poll. 41% of those surveyed say they are worse off financially than when President Biden took office. 52% disapprove of the job he's doing. But he can try to change their minds tonight in a speech that'll get a lot of news coverage.
My feeling is this. It'll be important for about 12 hours.
Bill Hemmer is co-host of America's Newsroom on the Fox News Channel, 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, weekday mornings.
By Thursday, it will be in the rearview mirror. I think the measure of the impact has lessened by the year, but you're still going to have an opportunity to reach upwards of 40 million Americans. I think just a cursory look a short time ago is about what the average audience has been. That's a pretty good chunk of Americans that if you want to make an argument, you've got an opportunity.
And for him, it's like a pre-campaign speech, right? I mean, when he says he's going to run again, it looks like he's running again, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It seems as if he is all systems go. I've heard nothing to contradict that. And I think the real point of his speech is to say full speed ahead. You know, he's looking at some economic numbers from last week on the jobs number that really is a chance for him to boast and say, look, our programs are working.
Half a million jobs.
Yeah. I mean,
in one month alone.
Yeah, it was a blowout number. I don't know what comes next. I think the Fed will continue to raise rates, which we'll see how that goes. Yeah. You know, it's always been an imperfect landing, although some are predicting a soft landing. I'm not saying they're right. I think history shows that it's hard for the Fed to get this right. But that to the side, I believe his message is, My ideas are working. Let's keep at it.
Yeah, he's going to tout economic progress, 12 million jobs in 2 years. He said that the other night, that that's more than any president did in a term. So he's taking credit for that. And of course, Republicans are hammering him for inflation. And they say that the things he says about how the economy was when he took office aren't true.
Well, you're going to hear some fact checks on a lot of that, right? You're coming out of COVID and the pandemic. And yeah, there will be some counter arguments. I thought what Trump did about 3 years ago was actually quite effective. It was right before COVID was fully upon us. And they had a number of people in the audience who they use as characters to express their point on policy. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very effective. I think that's the same night that Rush Limbaugh was given his Distinguished Award.
Oh, I remember that. And yeah. I think he was very sick.
I think it was the same night that Nancy Pelosi ripped up the speech at the end.
Oh, wow.
And her action sort of took away from the entire evening because the focus was back on her.
I mean, Kevin McCarthy's not going to do that, right?
I've watched it. No. I don't think so, no. I've watched a ton of these, Dave, and I would just say that the moment passes over most people, not quite immediately, but not much further after that. But the action that was committed at the end of that State of the Union lasted for several days, and that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, and if the president trips up, says a couple of wrong things, that always gets attention, too, because of his age, that's always brought up.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, is he has poll numbers that just came out over the weekend, ABC News and Washington Post. More than half of his fellow Democrats don't want him to run.
Yeah.
Does he have to convince them in the speech?
There may be an effort toward that. Yeah, it's a fair point. I thought the Washington Post poll was very interesting. There's a lot of information in there that I don't know if people have given as much attention to it as they should.
What stands out to you?
Well, I think the whole, you know, is 2024 going to be a redo of 2020?
Yeah.
Is Biden going to run against Trump? Is Trump going to be the nominee for the Republicans? And if so, is Biden going to be the nominee for the Democrats? You know, you mentioned that, like, the lack of enthusiasm. I tend to think that that's normal.
Uh-huh.
And it's really up to the person themselves to fight it out and to win it. I mean, that's why you go to Iowa. And in this case, for the Democrats, that's why you go to South Carolina.
South Carolina, right, yeah.
And that's why you go to Nevada and New Hampshire. You got to win it.
Yeah.
And win it on the arguments.
South Carolina is where, of course, Joe Biden resurrected his campaign. He finished fifth in New Hampshire, and New Hampshire is being punished. You know, he finished fifth place.
Yeah,
he didn't even get 10% of the vote in New Hampshire.
They're going along with it. All signs point to a reelection campaign. I agree with you. I thought in September of the last year, there were three pieces, I believe, if my memory is correct, that came out the same week. One was in the New York Times, one was in the Washington Post, and one was in Politico. And they all said, you can't do it again. You're going to be 82 when you start your reelection campaign. Well, what Biden has said is that I'm going to go think about it over Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I'll come back with an answer. Well, I think even before Thanksgiving break happened, I think the word got out that he was full steam ahead, and I think his now former chief of staff, Ron Klain, was on board with all that.
Yeah.
I think that was part of their thinking. Hey, our ideas are working. We've got a campaign we can run against here, and again, we're the only people who can beat Trump. Having said that, in that Washington poll, you will see the numbers head-to-head. Donald Trump beats Joe Biden in that polling in just about every category that they publish.
Yeah, and overall, 48 to 45 was the top line number, Trump over Biden, even though, again, more than half Democrats didn't want Biden. More than about half Republicans don't want former President Trump, and that's different. If Joe Biden runs, he's probably not going to get much of a challenge. Donald Trump has a lot of people he might have to run against. The first one might be Nikki Haley in a week or so.
Yeah.
How good a candidate do you think she can be?
I think she's been very effective in the last year. I've watched her appearances and interviews, and she has a message, and she's got it down. You know, how she does between Iowa and New Hampshire, that's up to her and her own ability to perform. Trump barely lost Iowa to Ted Cruz in 2016. And then he went to New Hampshire and won every county.
Yeah.
And that's really where he got going. But there'll be others in addition to Nikki Haley. And we'll see how they prosecute the argument against one another.
Nikki Haley's name isn't the biggest one. Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, is the biggest one. He has a lead in that last New Hampshire poll. He leads in New Hampshire, which is, so I've seen him leading in some national polls. Do you think that he is going to run?
My gut says yes, but my heart is not quite there just yet.
Why is that?
Because he's 44 years old, and this will not be his last opportunity, clearly. Having said that, he's raised a lot of money. And he's convinced a lot of people that he is effective at the job. There's one thing that I've seen from DeSantis, and some have criticized him for the lack of a sense of humor.
Too serious.
Maybe a little bit, but maybe the times call for that. What happens over the next 2 years? I don't know. World is now, maybe other incidents happen that would help him make the case. I tell you what I've learned about Ron DeSantis is that he works really hard. And whether he decides to get in or not is his own calculation. But for now, he's keeping his powder dry. Trump has the playing field almost entirely to himself, with the exception of Nikki Haley in a week here. And is that smart for him to spot Trump a 6-month lead? I don't know.
You might have Tim Scott.
I'm not sure.
You might have Mike Pompeo. Looks like he's going to be. What about Mike Pence? Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of names.
All fair. I was listening to an interview with Mark Halperin over the weekend. He made a great point. He said Trump went into South Carolina a week ago and was kind of under the radar, but went in there and managed to get the endorsement of the leading senior senator in Lindsey Graham and the sitting governor. Well, okay, that's pretty good. It's not everyone, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not Tim Scott yet. You don't know, he might run.
Tim Scott,
it's not Nikki Haley. They're both South Carolinians.
Yeah, the point being that Nikki Haley and Tim Scott are now, if they get in this race, which I expect Haley to do, and maybe Scott as well, they're not going to get the endorsement of the sitting governor in their home state. And they're not going to get the endorsement of the leading longtime senator in Lindsey Graham. That was the point he was making.
If Donald Trump doesn't get the nomination, let's say DeSantis or somebody else takes over, the race goes their way, and Donald Trump doesn't win, what does he do? Does he's not said he's going to back the nominee. He said depends who it is.
Yeah, if you're going to do a third party candidacy, I just remind you, it's not easy to do and it's not cheap. And if you were to be defeated in a primary season, it leaves you with very little time to get on the ballot. It's a higher hurdle for anyone, even Donald Trump.
One more State of the Union. You talked about how it may not have a long shelf life in the news cycle. It comes with this whole spy balloon. The Chinese spy balloon gets shot down. A lot of questions we still don't know answers yet. How much of that will still overshadow?
I don't know how he'll bring it up, or if he will. Depending on how much the White House explains, may or may not lead him toward a further explanation there in the House. But it has been a long time, Dave, since a singular story dominated conversation for days, like this spy incident did over the weekend.
And you can't imagine that just something that the White House might say on a Monday before the State of the Union will clear everything up.
When we went on the air on Monday morning, Dana and me, our guests had 10 questions each. Yeah. And I'm talking about people like Jack Keane, really smart people who know this stuff.
Oh, yeah. He knows China inside and out.
If he's got 10 questions, you can imagine how many more that we have.
Well, we'll certainly be watching on Wednesday your coverage. You'll be in D.C., right?
Yes, we'll make a trip down there and we'll get a sense of how things are received.
Get some reaction to the speech and all that stuff. And that'll be, of course, America's Newsroom with Bill and Dana Perino on Wednesday morning. 9 to 11 is the time of the show. Bill Hemmer, thanks very much for joining us.
Dave, good to be with you, and we'll see how the speech goes tonight.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
This is Ben Domenech with your Fox News commentary coming up.
President Biden was asked on the White House lawn Monday if the Chinese spy balloon incident weakens our relations with China. He said no.
We've made it clear to China what we're going to do. They understand our position. We're not going to back off. We did the right thing. And there's not a bad question of weakening or strengthening. It's just the reality.
He was also asked if he had always planned to shoot the balloon down or if that became the plan once the balloon's presence became public.
Once it came over to the United States from Canada, I told the Defense Department I wanted to shoot it down as soon as it was appropriate. They concluded we should not shoot it down over land. It was not a serious threat, and we should wait till we got across the water.
The White House National Security Coordinator John Kirby said Monday efforts to surveil the balloon and what we will learn from the recovery of it will prove valuable.
We know that they had a measure of control over its speed and its direction, and we believe it was conducting surveillance over sensitive military sites inside the United States.
When asked why China sent the balloon into our airspace, the president said, because they're the Chinese. Defense officials said it's happened before and that after the president took office, he ordered enhanced surveillance of our territorial airspace, allowing this detection. The National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, insisted they went back and looked at historical patterns, as he put it, and saw multiple instances in which a Chinese spy balloon floated over U.S. airspace during the Trump administration. Multiple officials under the former administration have denied this. Either way, as the Navy collects the debris from the shot-down balloon, many Republicans think this wasn't taken seriously enough and wasn't handled the way it should have been.
If the president doesn't come to talk about that or hasn't really been honest about it, he shouldn't bother to come.
California Congressman Daryl Issa is on the Judiciary and House Foreign Affairs Committees. He was formerly on Intel, and we spoke to him on Capitol Hill.
As Steve Morris said, he's got 6 lies that he plans to tell about the economy. The 7th lie is that he somehow did the right thing on that balloon, that in fact, when China tested us, we flunked the test. And he's got to explain that.
But he did end up shooting it down, right? Is there support for that, that at least that part happened and he didn't just let it drift away somewhere?
Well, he shot it down when it could fall in the water and be difficult to recover and much of it be destroyed. He had a chance 8 days earlier. He could have shot it down over Canada with cooperation on a very empty area. He could have shot it down over Montana, which is a pretty big empty. He also could have used techniques to bring it down, and he didn't. What he did was he sent up a large missile. It went up there and blew it up. It came down and had a debris field of over 6 miles. That wasn't necessary. Balloons that have gotten in trouble, which we, of course, have weather balloons and so on, can be brought down much more safely. The fact is, he destroyed it in a way that almost was destroying the evidence.
DOD says they mitigated the balloon's capabilities as it flew. I don't know if that means they scrambled things or told military bases below to, you know, not chatter. What do you hope we were doing? What do you hope our military and intelligence was doing while that balloon was traversing?
I hope they were arguing with the president. I hope they were telling him he was wrong. But my understanding is they weren't. They were kowtowing to a theory that somehow we shouldn't offend China. We shouldn't escalate. Their obvious eventual claim that this was a weather balloon, this was research, and now their claim that we overreacted all played into that. Just as we have seen before, if your president doesn't lead or provide leadership, DOD will kowtow. And in this case, permanent damage has been done to a belief of what the American response would be. An incursion into this country should operate directly. And if anything, we should have shown our capability to down that aircraft in a way in which we could have recovered most, if not all of it, figured out what the real mission was, and mitigated the activity sooner rather than later.
Is there any benefit of the doubt, though, because President Biden says that he did order it down, he did order to shoot it down on Wednesday, and then the military apparently came back and said, well, in order to do it safely, we need to wait until it, because it, as you pointed out, it did create a 6 or 7 mile field of debris. Is there any benefit of the doubt? Is there any wiggle room in your mind there that maybe it was wise to wait until there was absolutely no possibility of any civilian being harmed.
I believe the president is not telling the truth. I believe that we're on about our sixth different story. So if you know that the first few stories weren't true, why are you believing this latest one?
You were on intel. You're now on foreign affairs. What could this balloon have gathered that a Chinese satellite or multiple Chinese satellites could not have? I keep reading from senior defense officials on background that this balloon couldn't have necessarily gathered that much given the capacity of their satellites.
You know, misinformation is an interesting thing because those who know tell you things that aren't true, because if they told you the truth, they'd be violating their oath related to classified information. So let me just tell you what is unclassified, clear, and known. The reason we have Predators and other aircraft that operate at 60,000 feet and less is because as you get closer, your ability to see with great resolution improves. The fact is that when you're outside the atmosphere, even with the finest equipment, and both we and China have some of the finest satellite equipment, there are things you won't see. As you come down lower and lower, you see more and more. The best example, quite frankly, is when you fly over a city, you see buildings. You think you see three dimensions. When you stand on the street, you look in the door, you see who's inside. That's the difference that altitude makes. If they've done all their work and overlaid it, they can easily be looking for specific information with greater fidelity that they didn't have. And since we now know this was a maneuverable aircraft, call it a balloon if you want, it was a maneuverable aircraft, and it made changes to meet their requirements.
Did this happen before? DOD says it did under Trump three times. Trump administration officials say we don't have any notification that it did. What do you believe happened here?
I believe the administration officials I've talked to personally. I made unclassified calls to each one of the key members that I worked with from the Security Council and National Security Council, and each one of them said no. And when you include the president saying no, the vice president saying no, the secretary of state saying no, and a host of others, including two national security advisors, it is impossible to believe that DOD would now say, but we told everyone, if they can't prove it to be true. They have not come out with a on-the-record statement of who they told and when they told them. That's because they didn't tell them.
I think it was Senator Cotton of Arkansas who said, if you're concerned about this weather balloon or this surveillance balloon, then I have a TikTok app to show you on your phone. I know that Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, has said straight up, China has stolen more American data in the form of cyber crimes than all other countries combined.
He said it publicly. He said it before Congress. He's been actual and factual.
What do we do now? So the balloon is one thing, but is it a tipping point given all the other things we're talking about regarding China?
This administration has failed to react to a growing event by China of testing us, particularly when they test us in cyber by stealing, by damaging, our infrastructure. We have very little choice but in Congress to begin taking on China. We now have a China Select Committee. We also are looking into their intrusion in other ways. I have no doubt that under Speaker Kevin McCarthy, we are going to be doing what the administration hasn't done, which is taking on China directly.
Couple more for you. What were they doing? What do you think they were doing with this balloon? Was this a response to something? Was it a test? Was it actually to gather information? Or was it just to see, hey, what if we put an EMP in here the next time?
Over the last decade, China has stepped up the size of their Navy. They've built islands that allow them to impede travel on the China Straits, which is international waters. They shot down one of their own satellites to show us that they could, in fact, shoot into space and kill our satellites just as easily. They have been intruding into Taiwan airspace on a regular basis. They, in fact, are testing us, and they are probing, and they are preparing for greater action. There's no question about it. They're also hurting the view around the world that America is a safe ally. When that happens, people hedge their bets. When they hedge their bet, it benefits China, Russia, and the other enemies of freedom.
I understand several states are talking now about not allowing China to purchase farmland, especially farmland near sensitive sites, including military sites. Are we beyond that? Should we still should the federal government get involved in managing that? Should this be left to the states, or is this a bigger issue now? You're talking about, you know, China escalating to a more of a scary point. But does this issue also need to be addressed, the purchasing of farmland near sensitive U.S. sites?
China has systematically intruded into our space. When they get an opportunity to do it by owning assets in the United States, particularly close to sensitive bases where they can monitor, they become a bigger threat. But let there be no mistake, we are seeing it in other ways. Recently, Governor Youngkin of Virginia canceled a Ford Motor Company plant that, in fact, was going to make batteries because he discovered that it was 100% Chinese-owned and essentially simply a contractor but using Ford's name. That and other examples are what we're seeing more and more often with China wanting to be everywhere in the United States so, in fact, they can be observers. And unlike some countries, they don't just make investments. If you get an investment from the Middle East, more than likely it doesn't come with any employees. When you get an investment from China, it comes with Chinese nationals, many of whom are in fact spies.
Okay, before I let you go, I know I've taken up enough of your time. I understand that the first hearing on the weaponization of the federal government, is that happening this week?
I believe it's happening Thursday.
What should we expect to come out of these kinds of hearings? What's the dream witness list? Who do you want to hear from?
Obviously, what we want to hear on Thursday is really a bit of a roadmap of some major events that have happened and the players involved, which, of course, DOJ, Facebook, Twitter, under previous management, Google, and Amazon. But this is the beginning. As we bring in witnesses and depose others from behind closed doors, we expect to begin to unravel what clearly is a systematic effort that seems to include top-ranking political appointees of this administration.
Congressman Darrell Issa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Rate and review the Fox News Rundown on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Ben Domenech.
What's on your mind?
So I've seen and watched a number of State of the Unions over the years, and I find them always to be of interest in varying ways. Sometimes they can be quite boring, but oftentimes there's something else that comes up along the way that is an indication of certain problems, certain aspects of the presidency, the White House, the way that an administration's direction is going. That can indicate a lot more about what's going on with the country than maybe what is said front and center. I think, for instance, of the different strains that developed over the years, both in the 90s and then obviously in the late 2000s, that indicated kind of the direction that and the focus that was going on Capitol Hill wasn't necessarily aligned with the priorities of the American people. You know, I think, for instance, of George W. Bush talking about getting to Mars. I also think about the different challenges that were faced during the times of the Clinton-Gingrich years, when Bill Clinton would go on these stem winders with all these different little cul-de-sacs of conversation throughout his speech that really spoke to the fact that the priorities at that that time were also maybe out of whack. You think of him talking about school uniforms and the like. But one of the things that I do think is really interesting about this State of the Union is that it may be the first point where we see the type of generational shift in leadership in Washington that I and others have been asking for a long time. You have, obviously, President Biden still hanging on, you know, still unpopular, still, you know, getting older every day and not really responding necessarily to the demands of the American people, certainly not when it comes to the economy. And you have a new generation of leadership on the Republican side and Kevin McCarthy, who's going to have the opportunity to sound a different note than those who've come before. Obviously, this new speakership for McCarthy is off to a bit of a rough start. The 15 different ballots that he had to go through in order to get the job certainly put some significant strain on the Republican conference. But they've also resulted in a situation where Republicans are now more invested in McCarthy's success on all sides, meaning that if you are a conservative like Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert, you actually need this to work out to a certain degree. And I think that one of the things that's going to happen going forward is that McCarthy's going to have to choose which fights to pick in order to maintain his role as speaker, but also to advance the ball toward a Republican majority 2 years from now, one that's going to be entirely framed in the context of the 2024 presidential stakes, where you already have Donald Trump running against his old foe in Joe Biden, something that now looms over the whole conversation regarding that election. States of the Union oftentimes can be very boring as speeches, but they also can be very interesting as theater. And I think that one of the things that we have to take away from this particular moment in America is that we need more real policy and less of that theater.
I'm Ben Domenech. Listen and subscribe to the Ben Domenech Podcast, which you can find at foxnewspodcast.com.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.